Today on Verse by Verse, we're going to continue in the letter of Jude, verse 22 through 23. Let's transition from verse 20 and 21, where we focused on how we can build ourselves up in the most holy faith and keep ourselves in the love of God, to focusing on others. Let me remind you, the theme of this whole letter is to contend earnestly for the faith. That means to fight for the salvation that comes with faith in Jesus Christ, not only for ourselves, but also for others. Let's read Jude verse 20 and 23. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So in these two verses, we see three different kinds of people that we should reach out to. First is those who doubt. Second, those who are in the fire. Third, those who are wearing garments stained by the flesh. And we'll see three different approaches how to help them in their different situations. First, by showing mercy. Second, by showing fear. And third, by showing a combination of mercy mixed with fear. And so this will be a very practical lesson for those of you who have friends or loved ones who are not saved. You can help them to come into the faith or to stay in the faith by using one of these three approaches. Now, I want to share with you the reason why we care for others. It's because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And if God so loved the world in that way, shouldn't we also be concerned for where they are going when they die? Because the Lord's heart is not for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. He doesn't take delight in the death of the wicked, but he rejoices when someone turns from their sins so they may live. So let that heart be in us that's also in Christ, that is concerned for others, so much so that we set their interests above our own. And so what are you willing to do to reach out to those who are lost? In this section, we see that we're going to have to reach out to those who are in the fire. There is a risk of getting burned. We're going to have to be merciful to those who doubt. There's a risk of being rejected. We're going to need to reach out to those who are in dirty clothes. There's a risk of getting dirty ourselves. But because of love, we want to reach out to those in doubt, those in danger, and those in dirt and filth. So let the Lord stir up his love in you so that you may have a desire to respond to those who are in these three difficult situations rather than just saying, well, let someone else do it. Charles Spurgeon said, "Have you no desire for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that." So now let's read again Jude verse 22 and 23 and dig deeper into these practical steps of how to reach out to the lost. First of all, let's look at verse 22 where it says, "And have mercy on those who doubt." So the target audience here is those who doubt. You know, the Lord cares for this auditorium of doubters. Salvation is by faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God. But God doesn't want to condemn those who don't have faith. He wants them rather to come to the faith, to have true faith in him. And sometimes to come to that place, they need a little encouragement and mercy rather than judgment. They need some encouragement. The way to show mercy to those who doubt is by sharing with them how you became a believer. Share your testimony. Each of us has a testimony, and each of us can be merciful to those who doubt because we all at one time needed mercy, and we still do need mercy. We see Jesus showing mercy to those who doubt among his disciples. Remember when Peter was in the boat and the Lord was walking on the water, and Peter said, "If that's you, call me to walk out on the water as well." And Jesus said, "Come." And so Peter started walking on the water with his eyes fixed on Jesus, a great miracle indeed. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the waves, he began to sink. And he cried out a simple prayer, "Lord, save me." And the Lord reached out and grabbed his hand and lifted him up and saved him. And then Jesus said, with mercy in his voice, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And why do we doubt? Well, it's because we take our eyes off of Jesus. And so the solution then is to fix our eyes on Jesus. Isn't that merciful to show someone who's in doubt the reason why they should believe? In my own testimony, I needed people to answer my questions so that I can put my faith fully in Christ. I didn't quite understand how to live the Christian life or that it was possible. I had difficult theological questions and practical questions, but I thank God that He sent a few people that had mercy enough to share with me the answers to my questions from the Bible. And now I take joy in helping those who doubt to find the answers to their questions. And if you have a difficult Bible question that's just keeping you from becoming a Christian, feel free to write to me and I'll try to help you with your doubt so that you would believe and be saved, because that's God's heart for you. My email is brentonpowers@gmail.com, brentonpowers@gmail.com. And so I would encourage all of you Christians to apply this verse. Have mercy on those who doubt. Don't just be judgmental toward them, but reach out to them. Don't be a critic, but be a servant. Say, how can I help this person who's doubting? And Jude says, simply be merciful to them. You know, a little bit of mercy and compassion can go a long way in helping someone who's struggling to become a Christian to take that step of trust in God. We should speak the truth with love, because they see that you love them, and they'll realize that God loves them. Now, the second kind of person that we are to reach out to is those who are in the fire. Did you notice that as we read Jude verse 23? Save others by snatching them out of the fire. So where are these people? They're in the fire. And that's why we need to save them by snatching them out of the fire. Notice that word snatching. It's to quickly rip someone away from the danger that they're in. If they're in the fire and you're a fireman, you will not be gentle and just try and talk them out of the fire. You may actually run into the fire with them, grab them, and pull them out, whether they want to go or not, whether they're awake or not. We're called to save others, to run and tackle them if they're in front of a bus because you love them. Now, I know the scriptures say that Jesus is the Savior, and ultimately, it's only Him that can save anybody. But you know, we as Christians have a role in other people's salvation. Those who believe the gospel will be saved, but how will they hear the gospel without a preacher? So you have a role in saving others who are already condemned to the fires of hell. This is outreach. This is evangelism. This is compassion. This is Christian love, to reach out to those who are not Christians. Try to pull them out of their situation, whatever it may be. Unbelief or sin, or they're going astray, we ought to reach out to them and try to pull them out of that dangerous situation. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So let's go and seek and save those who are lost to follow Jesus. He loves them, and yet He doesn't always use a gentle approach. The first approach was a gentle one, showing mercy to those who doubt. The second approach is a more rough approach, snatching them out of the fire. You need to discern whether this is a situation where someone needs a gentle hand to guide them or someone to yank them out of their situation. Some people may object to this second approach of being more rough, more direct, and more stern, saying, well, how does that show the love of God? You should just love them and speak about this kind things that God wants to do for them and the gentle in a gentle voice. But if you know someone is in a burning house and you're on the outside, should you just quietly speak, oh, why don't you come out? It'll be fun out here. No, you need to yell. You need to shout, get out of the house. It's on fire. It's about to collapse. This is a dangerous situation. You need to be saved. People might not like the idea that they need to be saved, but we need to gently explain to them, look, the wages of sin is death. You have sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God wants to save you. You have to call on His name and He will save you. Until someone realizes that they're in the danger of fire, then they're not really going to be compelled to get out of their situation. And so how do we compel those who are lost? How do we inform them that they're not saved? Well, we need to use the law of God to bring conviction to their soul. speak to their conscience. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever hated? Have you ever dishonored your parents? Have you ever broken God's law in any point? Then you're guilty in all. And if you're guilty and God is a good judge, he must punish guilty people. The only way that you can be saved from the punishment that you deserved is if someone guiltless takes your place. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. So share the gospel in that way, briefly, using the law to lead people to Christ. That's why Paul gave us the law. And then, as we apply this, let's think about those who are in the fire as if we are there. Wouldn't you want someone to snatch you out of there? Wouldn't you want someone to come and rescue you? Are you willing to take action toward those who are lost as if they're in imminent danger? We don't know when we ourselves will die. That's why we should always be ready. And Peter said, always be ready to give an answer to those who may ask you for the reason for the hope that is within you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect. And now the third kind of person that we need to reach out to in Jude verse 23, to others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So this is the third approach that we've seen today. The first was to show mercy. The second one was to use fear, snatching them out of the fire. The third is to show both mercy and fear. Do you see that? To others, show mercy with fear. This takes balance. This takes skill to know when to apply mercy and when to apply fear. There's a general rule of thumb that I use to know when to give someone grace and when to give them the law. The Bible says in a few places that the Lord gives grace to those who are humble, but he resists the proud. And so if I'm speaking with a proud person, whether it's in counseling, whether it's in evangelism, whether I'm teaching a small group Bible study and there's someone there who is proud, then I will use the law of God, the Ten Commandments, to help that person to see themselves as they truly are in humility. If someone is already humbled, they're already feeling the weight of their sin, they're struggling with their guilt and their inability to do right, then I will apply the grace of God, because God gives grace to the humble, and we ought to follow him and do the same. So show mercy mixed with fear. Now, some people don't like to use fear, or they say that it's bad to use fear, but here Jude, an inspired writer of the Bible, says to show mercy with fear. And the Bible talks a lot about fear. Let me read you some verses that talk about a healthy fear. There is an unhealthy fear. That's not what Jude's talking about. But God has given us the ability to fear what we should fear, and this will help save us in times of trouble. Jesus said in Luke 12:5, "But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Luke 1:50 says, "And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." Psalm 25:14, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant." Revelation 9:5, "And from the throne came a voice saying, 'Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great.'" So fear can be a good thing if it drives you to the Savior. Jude goes on to say, as we're applying both mercy and fear, what kind of attitude we should have toward the evidence that people bear on their own clothes that they've been walking in the flesh. What should be our attitude toward sin? Well, Jude says, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. The Bible says we should hate something? Oh, absolutely. If we love God, then we need to hate evil. Psalm 97:10, "O you who love the Lord, hate evil." So we hate the sin, but we are to love the sinner, because that is exactly what God does. All of us have sinned. He loves us all so much that he gave his only son. He demonstrated his love in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. In conclusion, as we're contending for the faith, let's include contending for the lost, reaching out to those who are doubters, rebels, and sinners. And next time we'll change our focus from the outward to the upward, focusing on him who is able to keep you from stumbling, on him who belongs to whom belongs all the glory. So then we'll finish the letter of Jude And I encourage you, if you want to download any of these recordings, you can go to brentonpowers@podomatic.com. Thank you for listening.